Hey, good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
I'm looking a little tired today after losing an hour's sleep. I went to bed earlier in order to be ready for the hour that we lost. I think it was at 2 in the morning that we sprang forward. So I'm glad you all are here. And we're going to talk about prayer today. So we're going to turn, if you want to turn in your pew Bible, 1505. Jesus will talk about prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And then when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's have a prayer, then we will begin. Lord God, we thank you for your many, many blessings. And have all of us present here today understand that we are very fortunate to live where we live. And help us appreciate the great love that you've given each one of us. And continue to bless us and guide us in the coming days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus, when he was alive, left us a great gift. Before Jesus came, how people communicated with God was through animal sacrifice. You would go into the temple, you would take a bird or a piece or a calf or an ox or whatever you could find. And the priest would kill the animal and then blood would be spilled, and this was your way of communicating. If you're familiar with the story of Noah and the ark, the first thing he does after the flood recedes is that he finds a ram and he offers it to sacrifice. When Abraham thought God had wanted him to kill his son Isaac, and when the angel stopped him, when the knife was going down, the first thing he did was offer a sacrifice to God. Jesus comes along and he says, that's not the way we do things. There's another way to go. And he talks in the very famous Sermon on the Mount how he thinks we should pray. And he starts out by saying, don't babble on. In other words, I think what Jesus is trying to say is, don't try to recite prayers over and over and over again, having no idea what they mean. But rather, open yourself up to receive God's blessing. Open yourself up to understanding that God's love is there for each other. And he says, don't try to be showy also when you pray. And he suggests that prayer is a private act. That you go into your room, you close the door, and then you pray quietly to God. And because of that, God will then hear your prayers and reward you. Now, we don't do that all the time. We pray in church. We probably pray over the dinner table. But I think what Jesus is trying to say is that don't try to be showy about it. But rather to say, when you go, pray and be in earnest about it. And he also cautions against empty phrases, rote prayers that are said over and over and over again that don't understand what the meaning is or what they're about. And then he left us a wonderful prayer to be our model. Now, if you turn in your bulletin, you see that the Lord's Prayer is printed there in your bulletin. And I would like to talk about the different parts of the prayer that Jesus wants us to say. And many of us have said this prayer. I know I have many, many, many times. But I wonder if we understand what Jesus is trying to tell us. So Jesus begins, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So the first part of our prayer needs to be about praising God, thanking God for the many blessings we do have. For me, I'm thankful that I have a place, a warm place to sleep, a roof over my head, enough food to eat. Those are all blessings. And being thankful where I live. Be thankful that I live in the great country of America. And so the first part of your prayer needs to be about praising God. And you may want to offer your own petitions, whatever they are. And then thy kingdom come, that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is asking God for guidance, asking God for direction, that you want your will to be what God wants for you, to begin a new ministry, to attend this church, to give to the charities of your choice, to give to this congregation. So asking for direction in life. And God may call you to do a completely new ministry in this church. I've known people that when they pray, they felt an incredible need to become a missionary or to go to college or to do whatever God they think God wants them to do. And then give us today our daily bread. And this is obviously asking for enough food to survive. But I see another thing there, and that's asking God for things. Many times, I think it's okay for us to offer petitions. What do we want God to give us? What do we want God to show us? What do we want God to direct us to? And it's okay, I think, to offer petitions, whatever that is. Right now, I'm praying earnestly for my wife's health, and I will continue to pray that. Someone asked me recently, I said, have you prayed that? And I said, yes. And he said, what is God's direction for you? And the God's direction for me right now is to hang in there with her and to continue to pray for her and to continue to hope that she will gain strength. And many times before we go to sleep, we will have prayer together. And that's the prayer that we both pray, that she be given the strength she needs to be back to where she needs to be. And then it's forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And sometimes, if you've ever been in a church that has trespasses, but debts are the same thing. Brethren say debts. If you've ever been to annual conference, in most churches of the brethren churches, debts is what is used. And what it's talking about is not monetary debt, but rather people that have wronged you, of the things that you've done, that you're embarrassed about, and you want to be forgiven for. So he says, forgive us of our sins. And all of us need that prayer. I know I have many times in my life to be forgiven for the things that I've done wrong. And then forgive us our debtors, those people that have hurt us, to have them be forgiven as well. Now, the prayer that Jesus says is that if we don't forgive a lot, God will not forgive us a lot. But if we forgive a lot, God will forgive us a lot. So it depends on us about how much we want to forgive. I'll talk more about this next week. But if we in our lives are going around holding grudges against people that have hurt us, we're going around holding anger against things that have happened to us in the past, that certainly will affect our lives. So Jesus' admonition here is to forgive. To forgive those people that have hurt us. And I know for myself, and I'm sure for true for many of you, many times we forget about the wrongs we have done and remember distinctly what others have done to us. And Jesus tells us again to be cautious about that. Don't hold grudges. Don't be angry about things that have happened. But rather forgive those people. And the reason we do that is so we can have a better life. If we go around holding grudges, that will affect how we see things, how we proceed in life. And so Christ's admonition to us is to forgive. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. Do not help us when those times of temptation come that call us to do something we know is wrong. The information is saying, please help us during this time. Please help us during this time of trial. And for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now you notice what I read in Matthew, that line isn't there. And in some Roman Catholic churches, they don't say that. But here, there's a note, if you look at your Bible, that says that this is part of the prayer. And what it's saying is that God's kingdom now will last forever. No matter what the situation of the world is, no matter where we live, no matter what we're doing, God's kingdom will be there for us. to encourage us, to guide us, and direct us. Now, the next time you pray, try to remember those units. Now, do I do that all the time? No. Many times, I have so much on my heart right now, so much on my mind, that I kind of skip to the petition part right away. And I ask God to please help me make a decision on this. Please, God, help me show me direction and guidance. And invariably, I may get the order reversed, but I always come back to thank God for what he has done for me in my life, for what he has done for my family, for what the opportunities he's given for me. Now, many times people will not pray because they don't think God hears them. And this is usually a big one. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I still don't get an answer. I pray and I pray and I don't get the answer that I want. Well, God may have a different plan for you. God may shut a door so that you'll go in another direction. It may not be the answer you want, but in the long run, I think as you look back on it, it'll be the correct answer. And I know people, when they're very, very sick, many times people will pray that they will live, that they will move on in life. Many times God doesn't answer that prayer, probably because it's that person's time. Now, what God does do, however, is to give us strength to carry on. Now, let me tell you a story about me. My father, right at the end of his life, was very, very, very sick. And many people were praying for him. He had heart problems. And they tried a quadruple bypass surgery on him, and it didn't work. And he was basically laying in bed. He would get up. He wasn't comfortable. He laid down. He wasn't comfortable. And he called me on the phone. And he said, you know, I'm so sick and tired of this. I sit up, I lay down, no matter where I am, and I'm comfortable. And what I told him was, I said, I think God's will for you is now for you to pass. Go into the next life now. Your parents, your brother, your sister, your ancestors are all waiting for you. Go be with them now. And then a week later, he had passed. And my mother didn't even know that until I told her that months later. And in that particular case, I think it was important for him to understand it was okay to go. That he was suffered so much, and it was time now to be relieved of his pain. And if you've read any of these books about life after life and people ascending into eternal life, this is a wonderful, wonderful experience that they have. They're free of their pain, they meet their family that's gone before them, and it's a joyful time. Death can be a tragedy to a family, but many times when a person passes, they enter a new existence, an existence that's incredibly wonderful, happy, and joyful. So many times people will pray in the midst of a tragic situation, and they see when they get to the end that that was God's will for them. And I certainly believe that that was God's will for my father. But many times we'll have tragedies with children and people being hurt when there seems to be nothing, no reason or rhyme to it. A classic example of this, you've ever read the book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, Herod Kirchner, who was a rabbi, his son died of a disease called progeria, which is rapid aging. It's a genetic disease. His son lived to be 15 years old, and yet he had the body of an 80-year-old person. His hair had fallen out. He had time cataracts, arthritis, all these things. And that led Rabbi Kirchner to wonder about all the explanations that were given about why his son would be afflicted. First of all, I don't think he killed his little boy or any child. I don't think God would kill any child. But many times what will happen is from the seeds of tragedy will come great things. And if you've ever read the book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, Rabbi Kirchner will talk in depth about all the struggles that he had. But he comes to a number of conclusions. The first one is that God gave him strength to carry on after his son died. That God gave him the inspiration to write this book, which has helped millions of people around the world. It's been translated into many different languages. So many times, oftentimes, tragedy can produce good things. The seed of someone's success many times is in their failures or in their difficult times. I know when I've gone through difficult times, I try to ask myself the question as I pray, God, what can I learn from this? What do I need to understand about this? So that when I get to the other side, and I do want to get to the other side, that I will now be a better man for it. That I'm able now to carry on in my life. And perhaps some of you have been through a hard time. I know a woman, for example, that was diagnosed with breast cancer. A very scary time for any family's life. And she went into the hospital, and they had to take both of her breasts. But now, and then while it was scary, Thomas, the cancer has not returned. She'll get a call from the hospital now. A woman just like her is coming into the hospital facing the same thing. And she'll go in and counsel a woman, understanding now what it's like to be scared. Understand what it's like not to know what's going to happen. To try to give them encouragement. And so if you've been through a hard time, your prayer life can certainly strengthen you, but God also can lead you in another direction. A direction that will help other people. A direction that will cause you to become a better individual because you've been through the tragedies of life. Harold Kirshner also raises the question, which when I read the book, I was amazed at. He said, can you forgive God for not creating a perfect world? We all know that bad things happen to good people. We know that bad people many times will get away with all kinds of stuff. But I think it's up to us, the good, the people of the light, the people who understand, that it's our job now to make our world better. And many times God will inspire us to do that. Our church and Hagerstown Church of the Brethren, we have a ministry. We just finished to the homeless. And I see these people coming in. And I'm certainly grateful for where I live. I don't know if any of you have ever been homeless before. But I see these people struggling a lot. And the ministry there is to try to understand where they're coming from. And now they've hired a social worker to come and help people to understand that there can be a new life for them. There can be. And all that happened because people prayed about asking God, what is our response to the homeless? God's response for Hagerstown and many other places is, you need to try to help them. And the Reach Shelter had a tremendous success a little while ago. The man went through the shelter, got the help he needed, and got on with his life. And then he applied to Habitat, and now he lives in a Habitat house. And they have a success board, and his picture is portrayed very prominently there. And how many prayers were answered now because Christians cared enough to try to help those in need? The hymn that we sung to begin. Sweet hour of prayer. Listen to the words again. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's high throne to make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has found profound relief. And oft it scares its temper snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. So I'd like us all now for a few minutes to be in prayer. Offer your petitions. If you're going through a hard time now, if you're going through a difficult time, offer those petitions to God. So let's be in an attitude of prayer as we pray our prayers. Lord, hear our prayers. Understand that we are your creatures, your children in the world. And help us understand the great love that surrounds us. In your name we pray. Amen. If you could stand now on page 634 in our hymnals.